Our text for this morning is taken from the 55th chapter of the book of the prophet Isaiah, verses 10 and 11. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. If you ever get a chance to tour some of the churches in Europe, especially those that would have been built in the Middle Ages or maybe the era of the Renaissance, you'll often see a pulpit that appears to be almost suspended, and above that will often be a canopy. And you may not always see this from the back of the church, but if you were to walk up close to the pulpit and get underneath it to look underneath the inside of that canopy, you will often see a dove that has either been painted or slightly sculpted in there. And the architect designed this specifically to express a doctrine, and that is that where the Word of God is being read and taught and preached, there God is present. And that's why the symbol of the Holy Spirit is so often in those pulpits. Just like in the Old Testament era, God had designed a specific place where he was to be found in the tabernacle, so it is for us today. In the New Testament church, God has given us a specific place where we are to find him, and that is in his word. Listen to what one of the church fathers says. God is present in all creatures, and I might find him in stone, in fire, in wood, or even in a rope, for he certainly is there. Yet he does not wish that I seek him there apart from his word. He is present everywhere, but he does not wish that you grope for him everywhere. Grope, rather, where the word is, and there you will lay hold of him in the right way. When God called upon Moses to go and speak to the Pharaoh and to preach and proclaim his word to Pharaoh, and Moses was so afraid because he wasn't a very good speaker, God said to him, "I will be in your mouth." He didn't just say, "I'll put my words in your mouth," that was true also, but "I will be in your mouth." And so God has connected himself so closely to his word that he would have us identify his true word with himself. And so isn't it silly then that we're often tempted to kind of want more than God's word? We want something more exciting. We want something with a little more pizzazz if it's going to help our spiritual lives. We want something more spectacular. We want something that's going to make us really feel something. We want a little more spiritual bling. And then we would know we have God. We think to ourselves, "Don't just give me that old book. Don't just give me that sweaty little preacher. I want to see some lightning. And then I would have God." But instead, God has chosen to place himself in his word and tells us that's where he is to be found. In fact, our Lord Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity, true God himself, is referred to in Scripture as the Word who became flesh. And so when we hear that word of God, it's not only informing us about God. God says, "That's where I am and where I am to be found." The prophet Isaiah, writing to us today about that word of God, tells us that where God's word is being taught and proclaimed in its truth and purity, that's where we can be sure then that we will find believers, true believers in the invisible church that nobody can actually see, but that's hidden in the hearts of God's faithful. Where God's word is being proclaimed and taught and preached in its purity, there we know that there will be believers in Christ. Because that's where God actively works in that word. He says to us in our text today that my word shall not return to me void. It won't come back empty as if it went out without any purpose. And then Isaiah also gives us some very interesting imagery about that word of God. He uses some pictures from nature to teach us this lesson. In the same way that the snow, which we've had a little bit of this year, in the same way that the snow and the rain come down from heaven with a very specific and definite purpose to water the earth so that things can grow here on the earth, that's how it is with this word of God. It descends down from God into this world where his word is preached and taught, and it has specific purposes then to cause growth. Now, if there was nice growth this summer in your family's garden and you had nice tomatoes that showed up, you wouldn't go out and look at the tomatoes and praise them for being such great tomatoes. I hope not. You would instead give praise to God for being the one who gave the seed and the nutrients in the soil and for sending the rain and the moisture that caused their growth and so on. And so it is when it comes to spiritual life as well in the hearts of people. We don't go to the believers in Christ and give them praise for having faith. We go to God. He is the one who sends all of this and causes that increase. He's the one who plants the seed of faith in their hearts. He's the one that causes it to grow. He's the one that continues to preserve that faith in their hearts as well. We are so often focused on what we do with the Word of God. But God wants us instead to be focused on Him as the one who sends that Word and acts through that Word to give spiritual life. He wants us to see that He alone is the one who actively creates and sustains this Christian faith in our hearts. And it has to be designed this way. Without this power in the Word of God, without this divine power of God Himself in that Word, you and I would remain dead in our sins, and there'd be no spiritual life in us, and there'd be no hope of ever going to heaven. Imagine for just a moment that you were present at that great miracle where our Lord Jesus spoke His words and caused Jairus' 12-year-old daughter to come back to life from the dead. Jesus there takes all of His divine, almighty power and puts it into speech, into words, and causes it to go down into this corpse and brings that corpse back to life. Had He chosen not to put power into His word, she would have just laid there still as dead as the wood in the room. Imagine if that little girl sat up that day and suddenly saw her parents again and looked at them and said, "Did you see what I just did? Wasn't I amazing?" We wouldn't expect that. The power was not at all in her. The power was in the Word of Christ that gave that life. The very fact that you and I, right now, cling to Christ by faith, the fact that we realize our sinfulness, the fact that we are driven to repent of our sins before God, the fact that we cherish and treasure His great forgiveness and mercy in Christ that forgives all of our sins, the fact that because of Him we can look forward to going to heaven someday, that is all because of God in us. God's Word is not simply good, useful information like you might get about money going to a financial seminar or going to a batting instruction seminar from Joe Maurer. But God, in His Word, He places His power. And so that Word now contains the only power by which faith is created and sustained. And so we should fear and love God so that we do not despise preaching and His Word, but hold it sacred and gladly hear and learn it. Blessed are those who hear the Word of God and keep it. Amen.